Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Nuggets News. Today we welcome one of the co-founders of BitFlow, an exciting Bitcoin DeFi project. We've been speaking a lot about the Bitcoin DeFi ecosystem, so great to have on. Diego, how are you, mate?
Good. It's a pleasure to be here, Alex. We've been planning for a while and it finally happened.
Yeah, you guys have been busy, which is great. So for people at home, I guess BitFlow is trying to be maybe the Curve of Bitcoin, a place to swap tokens, a DEX, pool liquidity, earn rewards, and all that type of thing as we're building out the Bitcoin ecosystem. But do you want to maybe start with a little bit of your background, how you got into Bitcoin or crypto, and what led you to now building on Bitcoin?
Yeah, I think it started like many other builders, first, investing a little bit of money into crypto, trying to figure out what it was. I think it was right pre, like just the ICO summer, all the tokens came to be. I think that's when I really jumped in and I thought, oh, there's more than Bitcoin. That led to a lot of these tokens going to zero and learning, through pain, what is a stable coin? What is a stable coin that's algorithm, has an algorithm mechanism? What is a, collateral asset? What is leveraging? What is all of that? And then through this period, I made some wins, at the same time losses that led me to question again, what should we trust, and that question, I think, led me back to Bitcoin. It's almost like you go out on a journey and you take a trip and then you come back home and you figure out that, I should have never left Bitcoin and the money that you spent with other assets that went to zero was a learning curve. But at the same time, there's Polygon, there's Chainlink. There was other projects that made to be, and that also taught me a lesson that the value does come from what the protocol is delivering, right?
Yeah.
Is there a use to it? Is there utility to it? I see it as a software, some other sees it as a network, but what is that specific protocol delivery? What's the value behind that's going to allow their token to be sustainable in the long term? And I think we've seen a few good projects that have made it through two bear markets and now in the third or fourth bull market for a reason. But I think everybody learns in a different way. And then when I started looking back at Bitcoin, that's when I got to Stacks because, at that time I knew Bitcoin couldn't scale. What are some options? What other protocols are leveraging Bitcoin or Bitcoin Finality? What is the minimum that we can do today and maximum to use Bitcoin in DeFi? I was in Miami at that time. I still am. So Miami Coin was the first proof of transfer, first proof of concept as well for the Stacks ecosystem. Stacks 2.0 just came out and I heard of Miami Coin, City Coins. I jumped right into it, met a bunch of great community members, builders. That was the time that Stacks NFT, STX NFT came to be as well with Jamil. I was in Miami. I decided to launch a City Packs, which was a NFT collection to raise money for Miami public school kids. And it was also one of the first collections on Stacks NFT. And the mint also happened with Miami Coin. And right after it was Art Basel, we hosted the Miami Coin Art Week. I think that was the first time that we got all of the Stacks crew and foundation down to Miami at the same time. We had some keynotes and I was hooked. That was it. Like I knew that Bitcoin was going to scale, but it needed layers. And seeing the GigaBrains and the level of, knowledge in the discussions that were happening, not just around Miami Coin at that time, but Stacks and SBTC back then, which was, you know, how do you bridge or how do you create a non-custodial transfer of Bitcoin, and all of these capabilities that would allow Bitcoin to scale, and the promise of also doing it faster. This was almost 3 years ago,
yeah,
and I can't believe we're weeks away from Nakamoto.
Yes,
so that was a little bit of a journey back to Stacks, or you know, introducing to Stacks and then back to Bitcoin.
Awesome. Yeah, for people at home, if you've been following along with our interviews and research, you'll know that that Nakamoto upgrade for Stacks is greatly reducing the block time. So it's no longer in sync with Bitcoin. Those 10-minute slow blocks, it's going to be a lot faster. We're talking seconds, and that's going to be really big for a layer two on Bitcoin. So I guess I've been asking a lot of my guests where they fall on the maxi debate, all the way from, you know, we shouldn't even have layer twos on Bitcoin, let alone these NFTs on Bitcoin and other tokens, through to what you mentioned now, other layer twos. You've acknowledged the utility of things like Polygon or Chainlink and other protocols and software that bring value to the ecosystem. So to me, it's similar for a lot of people used to sort of hate on Ethereum, it can't scale. And like you said before, the giga brains can always find a way. And now we've got lots of different layer twos on ETH, and we're seeing the same on Bitcoin. I think that process is going to be quicker than what we had with ETH, because we can learn from what has worked with ETH and ZK versus proof of stake layer twos and all that type of thing. So where do you sort of fall on that scale now? Are you excited and happy to learn from other protocols, mistakes they've made, and what are your thoughts on all of that?
I'm very agnostic to in terms of chain. I think we're entering into an era of we'll call them side chains, micro chains, but I think of micro apps, specific chains on layers, layer twos, that's going to be doing one thing, one really good job at something. That could be identity, that could be document transfer, that could be image and storage, that could be signing a contract, that could be just for text purposes. But there's going to be a bunch of these micro apps that's going to, I call them micro apps, but you know, there, some will call layers, that's going to be using and creating meta protocols on top of Bitcoin and using Bitcoin finality, using Bitcoin reach state, you know, use the Bitcoin storage, whatever it is, but try to work as close as possible to Bitcoin. And especially when immutable data comes in, right? You have logistics also trying to bring this data into Bitcoin. You have the supply chain, you have product authentication, you have ID, you have you know, real world assets. And if you're moving that on chain, if you're tokenizing any of that, which chain would you want to, you know, save your data? And it's obvious that Bitcoin is there. So yeah, I'm very, you know, pro experimentation. I think Ordinals opened up a huge door for us. It accelerated, you know, years in terms of user adoption, curiosity, funds, builders, community. I think when FTX and Celsius happened and Luna crashed, it was, ironically, was when we just started building Bitflow. I was like, I remember like during those specific weeks and months, we're like, oh man, this is it. And people were saying that that meltdown, you know, threw us back like 3 or 4 years in terms of, you know, trusting the trust around crypto in general and blockchain. And something that has nothing to do with Bitcoin or the blockchain per se. And these were all, you know, centralized entities, and most of them, you know, there's one or two people to blame. And again, that led us to the start of Bitflow as well, because we were doing interviews and asking people doing the Bitcoin Startup Lab. And the answers during that time, I mean, the market was at its bottom. Like it wasn't, it was just like everything was crashing. There was no, like, the people were not looking for that three-digit APY anymore. They kind of, like, all came to ground. Like, you know, they all, like, realized that DeFi summer and NFT summer, whatever it was very made up. There was a lot of fake money. There was a lot of, you know, gimmicky. There was a lot of protocols promising, you know, big pie in the sky. Not many delivering. And I always say this, when you build in a bear market, you also allows you to look at other companies that are surviving the bear market and start questioning like what are they doing correctly and how will they make it to the next bull. And even right now, my goal is to how do we build for the next bear market? What is a product that people need in the bull market, but they also need in the bear market? And stables was the start of that, right? Any DeFi protocol, a mature DeFi protocol requires a stable swap and also deep liquidity pools that other DeFi protocols can build on top. So the price similar assets, Bitcoin to Bitcoin, different flavors of Bitcoin, stable coins to stable coins. That infrastructure is very, very important because then it allows other protocols and other users to quickly swap and exchange in and out millions of dollars at a time with very, very low fees and low slippage because these are same price assets. It's not as attractive as three-digit APY, but it allows protocols to use that and compound and create other DeFi products on top. An
Yeah.
example of that is Convex, Balancer, Aave. All of these use Curve's infrastructure, right? I think at a single time, 80% of all stables were going through the Curve protocol, DAI, USDC, USDT. So that was the beginning of it all, right? Like that I think was very important to us. We knew that we wanted to build something that would be fully decentralized, and it's important for people to understand that it's a journey to decentralization. There's no such thing as someone launching a protocol today and saying that it's fully decentralized, which was also a learning lesson from the previous market, right? People and companies and builders start using these hype words, and not really being able to deliver on them.
Yeah, fantastic. How have you found that journey? You mentioned you've been building right from when the FTX crash blew up. And I think we've been through a few cycles now. And yeah, I just completely agree. That's when the most opportunity comes, and why you can have a lot of conviction that things are going to bounce back when you see all this great stuff happening and people, even in the crypto community, have lost interest, and they're not aware that you can borrow against your Bitcoin now with Sovereign or Stacks is building, and they've got this upgrade coming, and Alex Labs, and all this stuff. We've really focused our research on it. It makes you very confident that the next cycle is going to bounce back, and it's going to be very big for Bitcoin DeFi. But how have you guys found that journey through startup labs and building and funding, and sort of what stage are you at now with everything after a few years?
Yeah. So we finished the pre-seed round in December. We went live on mainnet on January. We're about 45 mil TVL now. I think we have one, if not the most deepest liquidity pool on the Stacks ecosystem, which is Stacking DAO, ST Stacks, and Stacks. We are in the seed phase, see? Getting ready for TGE as well, getting ready to launch our governance token. Actually, in a couple of days, where there's a complete rebranding, new design system, new app, Biflow 2.0 is coming. But we're, it's been about a year and a half of building and then launching in January. And growing just very, very fast. It became at the right time, right? It made sense, why we were building in a bear market, all of the stuff that we had to go through. It was not easy raising money. It was not easy building when everything's crashing. And I think that helped us really become bootstrap and find ways to build products that made sense. And I think the partnership and the format that we do, that I call liquidity pools as a service or liquidity provider as a service, is really building solutions for these protocols to deliver even more value to their users. So the Stacking DAO liquidity pool is an example of that. The repegging of Arcadico, the Arcadico 2.0, the liquidity infrastructure that we also built for USDA, the partnership with Zest. We're working with Valour, Hermetica. We're also trading, creating multiple trading routes with all of the protocol and Stacks, Alex, Arcadico. We want to be able to offer the lowest fees across the whole ecosystem for the Stacks users. So being able to aggregate all of those exchanges is important, you know, and offer convenience to the user. And as we prepare to go for this, you know, Bitflow 2.0, it allows us to focus as well on DL1 as SBTC is just around the corner. So there's going to be a lot of liquidity flowing in and out of stacks into Bitcoin. With the Bitcoin halving, we have the Runes Meta protocol coming out, which we're very, very bullish on it. We're so bullish on it that we've decided to launch our governance token, etch on Runes, and then bridge over to stacks. We're also working towards a Runes AMM at the moment, so that we can get and allow, you know, those types of assets to flow between Bitcoin and Runes as well. So that's a little bit of what we're, you know, focusing on. We do have, again, our governance token coming up. We do have our token distribution event coming up in the next couple of months. And right now it's just like trying to put all this together. There's a lot of work, a lot of products coming out. The team is growing. But overall, like I think we couldn't be happier. Bitcoin halving came at the same time. SBTC stacks itself, it's getting its spotlight. All DL2s, Sovereignty, you know, on rootstock as well. All of these L2s that have been building for a while are finally getting the you know, the appreciation and the attention that they deserve. A lot of builders across the whole ecosystem as well. There's a lot of good experimentation on Ordinals, DeFi, TAP. I mean, there's just so much going on that a year ago we couldn't even think about it. So I couldn't be more thrilled.
Awesome. Well, for people at home, I'll just quickly bring up the Bitflow website. You said it's going to be getting rebranded and all that shortly. But guys, if you haven't had a play around with it, go over to bitflow.finance, launch the app, and then you can start to have a play around with swapping and pooling and earning. And we'll talk about the points maybe as well in just a second. But for people at home, do you want to give maybe the simplified version explanation of what Stacking DAO is and what Runes is as well for those that haven't looked into it?
So Stacking DAO is a liquid staking protocol on stacks. So we have, for example, ST, ETH, or, you know, our other liquid staking protocols on Solana, on Ethereum, on, you know, all these other protocols. It allows, you know, more liquidity to flow. You lock up your assets, and then you have this liquid staking token that's minted. I think what's unique about stacks is that these lock tokens are actually in the proof of transfer protocol and they're actually mining Bitcoin. So there's a flywheel effect there where your liquid staking token actually is worth more because of the yield that it generates.
Yeah.
So this allows you to lock up your stacks, mint some STX token, and then use this across the DeFi ecosystem as collateral on Zest, as, you know, liquidity on the liquidity pools on Bitflow or other protocols like Hermetica, which is also coming up with these collateralized assets products.
Yeah.
And then on Bitflow, you could swap, you know, there's a period, I think it's 14 days that the Stacking DAO, the Stacks token is locked up. So the swapping and the deep liquidity allows users to go in and out of the Stacking DAO liquid staking token. If you don't want to wait 14 days, you can just swap. There's also like some arbitrage opportunity there. But ideally, you know, it allows people to just quickly swap between the two. Now on the Runes side, as we all know, Casey from Ornos is launching a new meta protocol. These are fungible tokens as opposed to what the Ornos was. It's a whole new protocol. It allows you to etch, as they call it, a token, allows you to define the parameters of those tokens, total market cap, or not total market cap, total quantity of tokens, a time block as well until those tokens can be minted, or the number of tokens that can be minted. There's a lot of new parameters that can be used. But what's most importantly is that it allows you to mint multiple fungible tokens that before was not possible on Bitcoin, right? I think we have a very good and very simple, intentionally BRC20. I think it serves its purpose as a non-fungible. But being able to launch fungible tokens in Bitcoin allows, RWAs, real world assets, to come in into Bitcoin. It allows collateral assets, allow Bitcoin stablecoins. It allows, any sort of Bitcoin collateral to be used to mint these tokens. Of course, it does require other pieces of this, machine. But it is a great, great beginning for what I call the Bitcoin summer, right?
So for people at home that are keen to get involved, do you want to maybe talk about the point system you have at the moment and sort of future airdrops? If you can't give away specifics, maybe just your thoughts in general about how this can all work before you guys launch the token that you mentioned.
Now, we all know that a governance token is essential for any protocol that wants to be fully decentralized, right? I think many of the good protocols that we mentioned here today have been able to decentralize the voting power and also create a whole new mechanism of participating in the protocol. I think Curve does a really good job with the voting emissions, defining, where you want the rewards to go. The protocols building on top can also leverage these voting escrow tokens to incentivize their users to vote for their pools and their protocols, as we call it, Curve bribors. And also, the expansion, the approval of pools. I mean, there's a bunch of decisions that a DeFi protocol needs to make. It's important that we over time distribute this power to the community. And the way to do that, and in the beginning, is points, right? So there's two buckets of points. The first one is on-chain. These are people that are users that are providing liquidity to the liquidity pools and escrowing, staking them for a period of time. Each pair has a different point system. Example, stacks pairs has two stacks per day, times how many days you're locking it up for, times whatever the multiplier may be, depending on the cycle. And that's an easy way to reward those liquidity providers that are believing in a protocol that allowed us to go from zero. I think we put, 30K of our own money into the first week to over $42 million today. And also to give them a chance to participate in the decision of the future protocol, right? So that's one part, one bucket. The other one is community points. Let's call these off-chain points. We have been running a Zili community since August, almost 10,000 members. And these are quests that are created, sprints, campaigns. There's also quizzes. There's reading materials. So every action and every quest you complete allows you to rack up points. You have like social media content. Some people are writing and creating memes. Other are doing our testnet. We still have our testnet guides going on and SBTC on testnet. Others are helping us create content, whatever it is. There's multiple quests, which allows the community to also participate without having to just provide liquidity. And those two buckets are two point systems that are going to allow us to work towards the airdrop and community rewards in a few months.
Fantastic. You've spoken about maybe the path to fully decentralization, but any other, I guess, future plans that you're excited about, or where would you love to see it all, maybe at the end of this cycle and then 5, 10 years out?
I have 10 years.
Bitcoin well by then.
No, something that I think I'm very, very bullish on in general is RWAs. It's trillions and trillions of dollars that are going to start flowing into, the blockchain and into Bitcoin as well. And that's going to allow, protocols to build a bunch of different products, from collateralized, stable coins, to, tokenize stocks, tokenizing bonds, tokenizing mortgages, art, fragmenting and creating a creating DeFi products that are more accessible to people that may not have access to those products, right? Not, I'm in the US, there's a lot of financial products here that the market has created over time, but if you talk to people in Brazil or South Africa or Nigeria or even in Asia, there's not a lot of those products or financial products that the bank here has created. And I think the DeFi allows, that democratization of these financial products that before was not accessible to everybody. You either had to be an accredited investor or you had to have enough money. And now I think that there's it's finally, becoming more accessible. And I think Bitcoin is that, right? Bitcoin is accessibility. Bitcoin is anywhere, anytime, and that allows people to just build really cool products on top. So I'm very bullish on RWAs. And for us, using Bitcoin both as a collateral for minting a stable coin, there's multiple ways to do it, both on over collateral Bitcoin, as well as using the Bitcoin price change in a way to either create options and create other types of contracts, and perps, and use that volatility to also mint the stable coins. And then also using these real world assets to get Bitcoin, borrow Bitcoin. I think that's also something huge. And that's also something that we're looking forward to. I think it's with all these assets in the pool, Bitcoin assets, I think people are going to demand a lot of other products using these liquidity pools as collaterals, right? Especially because it's very low risk of impermanent loss. These are price similar assets. So it just makes sense to use these liquidity tokens as collateral to mint other stuff or to, which you're using under lending and borrowing protocol. And one thing that I'm excited over in the next, I think, 5 years is getting all, I think DeFi catching up to mobile, catching up to applications on the phone. If we look at the past market, even in trading, just stocks in general, the fintech companies have done an incredible job in bringing a user or attracting a user and bringing them to the mobile and making it easy to trade on mobile. And I think that's also what drove the last, craze. And I think DeFi is catching up to that. So I think over the next 5 years, technology gets better as well. I hope to see the cell phone being used more as a tool, as not only as your wallet, but also as a way, I think to run your own node. I think that's going to be very possible within the 5 to 10 years, where everyone's cell phone is running their own, dedicated node. So yeah, that's I think a little bit of I think where we're going.
Yeah, and ultimately, the number of people on mobile globally. I think we forget sometimes as we're sitting at home on our computers and laptops in the West that so many more people now have access to mobile. So that's really the most important thing for onboarding those large numbers of users. But Diego, I've really enjoyed that chat today. I'm going to put the links to follow yourself and Bitflow and all that down below. Any final thoughts for people at home?
We're building this with the community. We have been trying to be as open as possible, getting everyone's feedback. So we appreciate every user that has been and stuck with us in the last 2 years, and the new ones that are coming in as well. Or Discord channels are open, or Twitter, or Telegram. Join the conversation, give your feedback, help us build a better protocol. It's still point season, so there's a little, great opportunity there to farm some points. We're a couple of days away from relaunching, new rebrand, new design system, new app, new logo, new protocol, new tokenomics. There's a lot of stuff going on. This is just the beginning. So looking forward to, seeing you guys there. And yeah, if there's any questions, my Twitter's also open, and I love to talk to everyone. So,
Fantastic. I really appreciate it, mate. I hope you guys have enjoyed that one at home. Smash that like button, subscribe if you haven't already, share these videos around, and we'll talk to you again soon. Cheers.